my definition of soul, and you tell me where this is on the Oxford English list,
right,
is that which occurs in the afterlife or in another dimension.
Okay. Now, that would be several definitions, but that's the number one, or the one at number six, that I've been spending some time with tonight.
Good.
And the question is, what's the relationship between the two? And that is very tricky. Then we get back to, okay, we get back to our out-of-body experiences. Let's start with that.
Did you ever have one?
I've had two.
Okay.
Now, you want to hear them? Because one of them I mentioned before.
Yeah, absolutely. You're with me all night, so
okay,
go ahead.
Okay, well, now, experience number... trying to think of this in chronological order. Experience number one happened when I was 16 years old. And I was, as you know, the most unpopular kid in my school. And even when I was at the star of class plays, I wasn't invited to the cast parties. Can you believe that?
That's sad.
it's grotesque, George. Talk about life on other planets. Apparently my classmates felt I was.
Are you the kid that they threw out in right field?
No, they didn't even let me near the baseball. I mean, literally, once when they saw me coming, as they were organizing a baseball game in an empty lot, they decided to change empty lots.
They wanted you at second base. You got all excited, only to realize they wanted you as the bag of
yes,
second base.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, no, they didn't want me anywhere near these games. They definitely did not want me on their teams. So, at any rate, they had given me in my high school a very strange job. The kids had voted me the head of something called the program committee, which basically ran that assembly that you have every morning in some schools before school.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ours lasted 45 minutes.
Yep.
So every day for the first 3 months, I was scared to death because I was going to have to get in front of an audience of 350 people. And after month number four, it came naturally. Getting up in front of an audience of 350 people every day, easy as pie.
And you enjoyed it.
Right?
You enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it tremendously. So one day, the juniors were about to throw a dance. Now, what is a dance, George? It is a social affair, a party, right?
You got it.
You automatically not invite Howard Bloom to or try to keep Howard Bloom out of.
A social event or a party.
Yes, exactly. So there was a little bit of irony when the kids in the junior class dance committee came to me and said, could you do some sort of advertisement for us when you're on stage tomorrow? For our dance. The irony was I wasn't invited.
Exactly. Help us out, but we don't want you there. Right?
Yes, exactly. So what I did the next day was have somebody put a piece of music on, and I went out on stage. And now I can't dance. Look, my mother tried to make me normal. She did everything in her power to make me normal. Nothing ever worked. I mean, she went all the way from kidnapping me one summer and sending me to summer camp. Well, what do you do in summer camp? All they have is baseball games.
No rhythm sports. In your body, huh?
Yeah. So she was sending me to automatic rejection for two straight months. And then, of course, she used to send me off to dancing school, you know, so I could have the social graces. Well, not only did none of the girls want to dance with me in dancing school, but I'm a klutz.
Now I think I'm your therapist.
So here I was at the age of 16 about to do an advertisement for the junior dance, and what did I decide to do? Something I'm thoroughly incapable of, dance. So we put on this piece of music, and I got up on stage, and George, something bizarre, utterly bizarre happened. It's as if I was gripped by the fist of a god.
You turned into Bojangles.
It was beyond that. My conscious self immediately flew up to the ceiling. You know what that's like, because you've been through it too.
You did that though in front of in a conscious state.
Instantly, my consciousness went up to the ceiling, and it watched my body down on the stage, and it watched my body as my body was jerked around by forces so incredible that who knew where they came from? Who knew? Now look, I'd been on the track of the gods within since the age of 13. This was 3 years later.
Yeah.
Never did I imagine that something so overwhelming that it would totally elbow me out of my own body could take me over and put me through an ecstatic, extraordinary, I can't tell you how energetic this was. I recently got to see myself dance in a mirror. You know, in later years, every great once in a while I would try this. One day we were in Detroit with Martha Quinn, one of the original VJs from MTV.
Sure.
And Daryl Hall and John Oates and Tommy Mottola, who would later become the president of Sony CBS.
Exactly.
And upstairs was Stevie Wonder. And I decided to dance with Martha. Well, you never stopped Daryl Hall and John Oates and Tommy Mottola from talking in a social setting where they were sitting there with drinks. It was a club.
Uh-huh.
Well, these guys, for an hour and a half, they stopped drinking, their jaws dropped, their eyes bugged out, and they didn't say a word. Because watching Howard Bloom dance is like watching Chuck Jones, the guy who used to do the Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Yeah.
Imagine putting Chuck Jones on a combination of LSD and amphetamine and then letting him draw, letting him cartoon. I was every Warner Brothers cartoon come to life, but filled with about 1,800 watts too much electricity. Now, this is what happened to me when I was 16. I what do you say? You can't say you lay on the ceiling because you're hovering beneath it.
You're hovering.
But there I was, hovering, watching this body go through these spasms that were astonishing.
How long did that experience last?
Oh, it must have lasted 4 minutes.
That's incredible.
Yes. And during the entire time, I also could see out my eyes. And what I could see out my eyes was this group of 350 people who loathed me, and one girl in particular who loathed me more than any of the rest. I had, from this girl, all I had ever gotten were the meanest looks you'd ever seen. I had never seen what this girl looked like when she smiled.
Yeah.
At least not when her eyes were facing me. I watched her face melt, George. Her face melted utterly. I watched the faces of all the 349 other people in that auditorium melt at the same time. And something took them over that was, in its own way, as powerful as whatever it was that was shaking, jogging, and writhing me. And when the performance was over, all 350 people came down, rushing down to the foot of the stage, and they did something that came out of them instinctually. How do I know? Because they had never done it before. I had been there in that high school for 3 years. I had never seen this, not for a football game, not for anything. And without knowing how they were doing it, without planning to do it, they certainly didn't plan to do it. They came down, they picked me up on their shoulders, and they carried me from the building in which our auditorium was to the building higher in the hill on which our classes took place.
I love it. They must have loved you.